It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, the first funeral is being held for one of the victims shot to death in an ambush at a cookout in Wilkinsburg last week that killed or injured 9 people. In Wilkinsburg Saturday, several hundred residents gathered to talk about crime and community development in their neighborhood. 90.5 WESA reporter Virginia Alvino was there.
Faith and government leaders, mentors, and concerned parents all packed the sanctuary at South Avenue United Methodist Church. Among them was Michael Walker, whose son Jerry Shelton was killed in last week's mass shooting at a backyard barbecue.
My son Michael is my oldest. Wow. He was a good man. A good, caring, and loving man.
Walker says grooming young men to get on the right path starts when they're kids.
We have to show them and teach them what it means to carry a gun, far before they ever know how to use one. You don't want no gun.
Borough Councilwoman Vanessa McCarthy Johnson called the neighborhood meeting. She says she's wanted to organize a resident activist group for a while, and this is just the first of regular monthly meetings to figure out more actionable steps to curb violence.
You know, we're not going to let this tragedy destroy us and, you know, not be traumatized for any longer.
McCarthy Johnson says Wilkinsburg is still a great place to live, and the number of neighbors getting involved is proof of that. I'm Virginia Alvino, 90.5 WESA News.
I'm joined now by phone by T. Rashad Birdsong, president and CEO of the Community Empowerment Association, which organized Saturday's community meeting. T. Rashad Birdsong, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me today.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. What is the best way for the Wilkinsburg community to move forward? We'd like to hear from you at 412-246-2002. T. Rashad Birdsong, how important was an event like Saturday's community meeting as the Wilkinsburg community continues trying to come to grips with the horrific events of last Wednesday?
I think that it was very important for the fact that despite how horrific this act was, that you have various homicides and murders going on throughout Allegheny County. But this was the first of this nature to have 8 people shot, 5 of them died, and 4 of them were women, and 1 was pregnant with a child. We can no longer allow the justification of this type of behavior in our community. Despite some of the social issues and problems that we are subjected to, we cannot have young folks running amok with impunity, shooting and killing people in these communities. So it was important based on just the education. There were people from all over Allegheny County in the city of Pittsburgh that attended both meetings, the one in Homewood and also the one in Wilkinsburg. And also I think what came out of that is the determination of residents on the ground to get involved, because we know that the issues that we're talking about, it's been happening for over 25 plus years in the city of Pittsburgh. We're averaging close to 75 to 80 homicides every year since 1995. So the violence is not new that we're talking about in our community, but when it is as horrific as it is, then that definitely brought out people to help them bring a broader awareness of the need that we need to get engaged and involved, working through multiple communities that violence are impacting the most.
We heard in the piece we played earlier a community leader discuss the need to groom young men to get on the right path. How do you do that?
Well, you know, it's such a deep-seated structural issue that we see now, because we could have addressed this early on when we had the first, gang problem here in Pittsburgh. And also, we also got to look at investing in these communities to scale. That means that there is a lot of nonprofits, there's a lot of community groups that's doing a lot of great work, a lot of heavy lifting on the ground. But unfortunately, there's not the political willingness to invest in models that have worked throughout the country that we also can use here in Pittsburgh. When we talk about many of these young men, we have to talk about education. We got to talk about early childhood development. We got to talk about support, you know, for their families. And more than that, we got to talk about these young men need skill sets so they can be able to have a living wage. They can be able to deal with the credit. They'll be able to buy homes. So all this is part of investing into these young men. It can't just be about mentoring alone. It just can't be about one single organization reaching out to these young men alone. It got to be a comprehensive, strategic plan that we have to apply, and that has to come from academia, that has to come from our school system, that has to come from government, and it also has to come from the community itself.
So when you talk about the lack of political willingness, are you pointing at political leaders? Are you talking about government officials, or is there something beyond that?
Well, we all can take a little blame on that. When I say the political willingness, I'm talking about, we all see that there's a need to invest in youth prevention intervention. We also brought to the attention of academia that this constitutes a public health crisis. The CDC says that this is an epidemic. It is a disease. So we should address it from that perspective. I'm saying that we have to look comprehensively, you know, how to deal with the issues of violence that have become an epidemic, specifically in the black community, by the way. Now, when we also look at violence, we have to look at the violence of unemployment. The unemployment stats in a lot of black neighbors amongst young men are 55%. We also got to look at all of the development, Pittsburgh comeback, and, you know, the renaissance that's happening in Pittsburgh now. A lot of these economic development projects are absent of African Americans through contracts on these here jobs. When we begin to look at the type of affordable housing that's being built in these here communities, it's not affordable to one that got a medium income that's on a lower scale. So when I'm talking about the political willingness, I'm talking about across the board. There's a lot of work going on in our community, but unfortunately, a lot of the population that need to be touched and lifted up is not part of that conversation. So the political willingness means that we have to sit a table where all of us can sit down. I'm talking about the community. I'm talking about government. I'm talking about economic development. I'm talking about across the board. So when I say political willingness, I'm not just talking about public officials alone. I'm talking about Pittsburgh and Allegheny County.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. You can join our conversation with T. Rashad Birdsong, President and CEO of the Community Empowerment Association, at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. We have been hearing, Rashad, about a number of political candidates, Bernie Sanders last night being one of them, talking about economic disparity, the fact that incomes are not rising with the rest of the prosperity that we're seeing in the United States. What you're saying is that an offshoot of that lack of opportunity for young African Americans and for people who are of a medium income, that those economic disparities, those challenges, the lack of jobs, the lack of a living wage being paid to people doing jobs is connected to the violence that we're seeing in communities like Wilkinsburg.
Yes, all that's part of that, and that is by no way to justify the act itself, because all of us, you know, said that's a horrific act, and those individuals need to be caught, and they need to be prosecuted, and they need to be locked away. What we're saying is that we have to look on the prevention side. We know that early childhood, you know, education is important. We know that education for our young men and women are important to keep them in school. A lot of these here young men that we're talking about are truant. A lot of them have been pushed out of school with no alternative educational at all. So they just left to their own means on the street. We can talk about gun control. Where is our gun control? You know, Zapala is running for office now. We need to ask him, the guns that you confiscate, what are the serial numbers? Where are those guns coming from? We have to begin to talk about the drugs that's in our community. There need to be more, you know, assessment to young people that have substance abuse issues. Mental health. When we talk about mental health, we talk about a community that's suffering. We're not talking about one person. Now, remember, when there's a shooting or a murder in our community, it impacts the whole community. So we actually have communities that's subjected to PTSD. I mean, so we have to talk about how can we begin to change the narrative and the paradigm in terms of how we address, you know, mental health in communities such as this here. And part of that, as I'm saying, comes comprehensively when you start talking about a healthy community. A healthy community is businesses in your community. A healthy community is educational in your community. A healthy community is recreational activities for the young people in your community. So we're talking about comprehensively, how can we make sure that these communities are healthy? And that's what it's going to take, you know, the leveraging of Allegheny County and all the multiple departments that there is in Allegheny County to invest to scale what the problem is, to scale. It's a major problem, but when we look at the development, multi-hundreds of millions of dollars in development, brick and mortars, we need to also put a percentage of that development dollar to human services and human spirit development also in the people that lives in those communities.
Though it has not been established at this point, there are those who believe that this mass shooting was drug-related. Have such crimes gotten beyond our control?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure if it's drug-related or not. But whatever the relationship is, if those automatic weapons are not in our community, then that couldn't have happened. If possibly those young men that committed this year crime had a legitimate job, legitimate skills, then perhaps that couldn't have happened. So we can sit here all day long and talk about what the reason was. I'm saying that there is some systemic structural impediments that is stopping the advancement and improvement of African Americans in the city and also communities also. So we need to also begin to look at the root causes of the problem that we have in our community, not just look at the surface or the byproduct of the real problem.
As I mentioned earlier, today the first funeral for one of the victims, Shade Mahoney, is being held. The families of the victims have been absolutely devastated by what has happened, as one might expect. What is the best way to help these families and these individuals survive this nightmare, Rashad?
Well, you know what? I have worked with a lot of families that have lost children, loved ones to violence. Let's be clear. There's no closure on this here. Every sound that you might hear, a reminder, every smell you might hear, the absence of a child at a table, the holidays, this is going to be ongoing. So, I mean, immediately some of the things you might can do, there is a fund, because I've heard that it's going to be close to $60,000 to bury these here young people. So Citizen Bank have a fund we can donate to the family. Also, support systems. We just need to be there in those communities. They need to see that, you know, these, unfortunately, because of the horrific of the crime, that we don't want the death to go in vain. We want to use this here crime as it is to improve in advance and begin to pull together as neighbors, pull together as churches, pull together as masjids. And we need to move through our differences in our community, and also our public officials need to invest in these community and garnish and leverage resources to make that happen.
And lastly, how does the Wilkinsburg community survive this? How much has this mass shooting affected people's hopes for the future?
Well, you know, at the meeting, I did not see that despite, you know, what has happened. There was a lot of people at the meeting. It seemed like they was willing to get engaged. They was willing to get out in the streets. They was willing to pull together and network and work together. So I think there's a whole renewing, you know, of hope in Wilkinsburg, because, you know, Wilkinsburg is a distressed community also. And I'm sure that people know that, and I think political representatives are going to begin to invest in different programs and activities, and the mayor definitely is involved in that also. So I'm optimistic that despite, you know, the crime, that this is going to pull the community together, and hopefully we can address at the root the problems of this disease that's called violence.
My guest has been T. Rashad Birdsong of the Community Empowerment Association, which organized a community meeting Saturday in Wilkinsburg in the aftermath of the shootings that occurred in that community, in which 9 people were either killed or injured. T. Rashad Birdsong, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up, a conversation with the man credited with breaking the story about high levels of lead in Flint, Michigan's drinking water. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.